Welcome to the Aligned Musician Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly Hankins, and I'm a violist as well as a yoga and breathwork facilitator. I created this podcast to empower musicians like you to find your own path towards healing and normalize conversations around musicians' wellness. I'm so grateful for your support and thank you for joining me. Everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Aligned Musician Podcast. I'm just sitting down, drinking some coffee. I have a little bit of free time today. And so I wanted to share something that's been on my mind the last few weeks. And if you're one of my close friends, you've probably heard me talk about this and just kind of talk about the implications of this. And it's a big realization I had. Just to provide a little bit of context, I know I haven't really, I'm not sure if I'm being very clear right now, but this episode is going to be on boundaries. And I graduated during COVID back in December 2020. I had to write my dissertation during COVID, which was insane. It's something I don't wish upon anyone. It was really challenging for me, especially as someone who really thrives from in-person contact. I would consider myself an introvert. I know I've done, according to Myers-Briggs, I'm an INFJ. So I really am passionate about things. And if you get me talking about something I'm passionate about, I could talk forever. But I also have struggled with social anxiety for a variety of reasons. But I'm going to get into maybe some of that a little bit in this episode. But I want to talk about boundaries because I've been in school from, oh my gosh, age 5 all the way until age 33. And that's a long time to be in school. Out of those years, I've taken 2 years off. One was for mental health reasons. I decided to quit music and I didn't practice viola at all. And I was just exploring, like, if I could feel fulfilled in a life that didn't involve music. And clearly the answer to that was no. Music has to be a part of my life. And also, I took a year off to gig and to make money as a musician because I felt like I needed to make money playing music for a time. And so it was also mental health related, I feel, but I took a leave of absence during my performance diploma and came back about a year later to finish that. But I wanted to talk about boundaries because throughout my time as a student and in my experiences being a professional musician, teaching students one-on-one or for a private school, public school, being in a string quartet, being in an orchestra, having lessons in undergrad and grad school, and sort of having experienced a lot of the ways in which musicians, a lot of the ways in which to be a successful musician, you have to kind of in order to be a professional musician, you have to experience in some way or another to decide if it's a path that you want to go down. And I came to this major realization in my own life a couple weeks ago, which was that throughout my entire time in school, I was not allowed to have boundaries or healthy boundaries around the amount of work I took on and what I was expected to show up for in terms of time. And actually, I would argue that I was rewarded for having a lack of healthy boundaries around the work that I did. And I want to preface this by saying, I think it's absolutely important for musicians who are serious about their craft to really put in the time practicing in a way that works for them, in a way that honors their overall mental and physical health, in a way that is efficient, so you're not having to spend as many hours in the practice room. But I do think it is important to put in the time needed in order to learn your craft. That being said, I had so many orchestral experiences, so many school-related experiences in which we were expected to either stay late in a rehearsal, to come to and show up to rehearsals that were not originally on the syllabus, which meant having to cancel students, which meant having to reschedule my entire life in order to accommodate an extra added rehearsal that I was not being paid for, but that if I didn't show up for, I knew it would lower my grade. And actually, when I was an undergrad auditioning for grad schools, I had an orchestra director that did not give me permission to audition for one of the schools because it coincided with one of the dress rehearsals for a concert. And at that point in my musical career, I already had 15 credit hours of orchestra because I was in regular orchestra and chamber orchestra for 3 of those years of undergrad. And so I had 15 credits of orchestra with an A plus, and this conductor was threatening to give me an F in orchestra if I missed this dress rehearsal. And I think eventually I ended up talking to the dean of the school, and what came of it was that I was given a lecture on how I should be more professional and understanding that if I was in a professional orchestra and I wanted to audition for a seat in another orchestra, that I would not be given the time off. And I kind of rebutted with, if I was in a professional orchestra, I would hire a sub and I would be open and honest in my communication with people because that's what the professional thing to do is. Inevitably, there ended up being a snowstorm and my audition got rescheduled anyway, and I ended up showing up to that orchestra dress rehearsal. But the conversations and the mindset around what students are expected to do in orchestra, a one credit hour class that meets oftentimes upwards of 6 hours a week, plus you're expected to practice for those meetings. And you never knew really what your schedule was going to be like. And so I was taught from my experience as an undergrad that my time is not my own. That if someone in authority tells me that I have to give up my Saturday evening for a sectional, that it's easier to just be okay with that than to fight it. Which I think is really sad, because those isolated incidents may not have made much of a difference. I mean, it's like, you got to learn the music, and maybe I was in a viola section that didn't sound so great and we needed that extra rehearsal. But to ask students to continuously give up their time freely is asking a lot. It's asking a lot. So I learned while I was in school that my time is not my own. I also learned that if you are flexible and positive about those experiences and understanding that the conductors, that the authority figures in those situations are nicer to you, and then if there happens to be an instance where you're sick or injured or whatever, you've proven your loyalty through lack of self-boundaries around your time and work. So for the most part, my teachers, my conductors, the authority figures in school all loved me because I am a very high-achieving, hardworking person that also had zero healthy boundaries around my own time and energy. And actually, sacrificing my time in order to serve the institution or orchestra or ensemble or whatever it wasn't just rewarded. At some point, it felt really good for me to do that. Why? Because I felt like I was giving back in some way to my colleagues. At some point, after having to give up so much of my time unwillingly, I reframed it as I'm donating my time to a good cause. And by putting in this favor now, maybe years down the road, I can ask someone a favor in return. That there's some kind of rehearsal karma that if I am self-sacrificing enough and give up enough of my time and my energy to a project, that same time and energy is going to come back to me in some way down the road. And maybe it has. Maybe it has. But that feeling of needing other people to respect you at a professional level, wanting everyone to like you, and being willing and openly sacrificing your time and energy for others in order to try to get someone to like you or respect you, is a form of manipulation, and it is a trauma response. Because changing your behavior in order to try to change someone's mind about you. And so to then assume that everyone doesn't like you, and that in order to gain their respect, love, connection, approval, validation, you have to sacrifice something, and you openly, willingly do it over and over and over again because you feel that if you do this, they might like you more, is manipulation. And it's a trauma response. It's a learned behavior, often in order to survive a stressful situation. And I hope this is making sense. I know I'm kind of going off on some tangents. But I think being in academia and being in school is stressful. It's inherently a stressful experience. There's no way around it. Even if it is a positive experience, it can be a positive experience and still be stressful and still require a lot of effort and work in order to succeed and excel at. And so having high levels of stress over time affects the nervous system. Some people might get angry about it. Some people might shut down and become depressed about it. And I mean depressed in a clinical way and also depressed in a not so clinical way. People might become really anxious about it, have panic attacks, have test anxiety, performance anxiety. But the ways in which we respond to stress, we don't get to decide. It's just how our body responds. It's a somatic, subconscious reaction to survive. And so I think for me, I've experienced recurrent major depressive disorder and a panic disorder, but also I very much had a fawn response when it came to academia because I wanted everyone to like me. I mean, who doesn't? I want everyone to respect me and the work that I'm doing. I want people to see the work that I'm putting into it. And I want people to respect me. And so I found myself for a lot of time in school, freely, willingly giving up my time in order to gain the approval of others. So this was a major realization for me, because when you never get to develop healthy boundaries and you turn off the part of your brain that really acknowledges what is best for you, because you're constantly being asked to do more, that naturally spills out into other areas of our lives. So when I started playing gigs, that showed up in, you know, at the end of rehearsal for non-union gigs, like, is it okay if we stay an extra 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour? Like, yeah, I don't want to be the person who gets up and leaves. I want for the conductor and other musicians to respect me. I want to be called back to the next gig because I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from. So I want to make extra sure that everyone there really respected the fact that I sacrificed my time for them. When it came to teaching, I still to this day, I'm horrible about only spending 30 minutes or 60 minutes with a student. If you have ever had a lesson with me, you know, I care so much about wanting to see my students succeed. I give so much of my own emotional energy, emotional labor towards my students, that at one point I decided to stop teaching because I gave and gave and gave. But I wasn't charging extra for that extra time. I just simply wanted to see my students succeed. I wanted to form a real connection with them. And I still do. I still do. But when the question came up for me after graduating of how many students do I want to teach? How many hours do I want to teach on a weekly basis? How many beginner students do I want to have versus older students? How many half hour lessons do I want to teach versus 1 hour? How many students do I want to have that take a lesson only once every other week? Because when you think about it, it doesn't matter how often a student is taking lessons. I put the same emotional labor in between our lessons for every person. I'm thinking about what that student's strengths and weaknesses are. I'm thinking about all of the repertoire that exists that they may be really great at, that may challenge them to get to the next level. I'm thinking about etudes that support their learning and their specific weaknesses in a way that isn't going to be too overwhelming for them, but is going to be empowering. I think about the auditions they have coming up, the recitals they want to plan, making sure that they're set up well so that they don't play with a lot of tension, so it's easy for them to practice. I'm constantly thinking about all these things and writing ideas down and talking to my fellow viola and violin teachers about tools and strategies that have worked for me and questions or challenges that I face. So having a lesson with me once a week or even once every other week isn't just an hour of time or half hour of time. It's hours every week of emotional labor. So I'm still figuring that out. I decided for myself that the amount of students I have right now feels good, and I'm going to stay with this amount and just kind of notice how I feel and ask myself in a few months, like, do I want more students? Should I, you know, try to cut down on my number of students? Right now, I feel really good. But going into that conversation, getting emails from people wanting to have trial lessons and not knowing what is my boundary, that's something I'm still learning and may change over time. And kind of going into that same conversation with performing and teaching is also like, how much is my time worth? How much do I want to charge for my time? what feels like an equal energetic exchange. Because I still struggle with imposter syndrome to some extent. But I do have very unique skills and perspectives. And so I'm learning to value that in myself and not feel guilty charging what I think I'm worth for my time. And so something else I've been thinking about around work is like, what actually feels rewarding, empowering, and fulfilling? Am I being nourished by the work I do versus being drained? And if you're someone that has work, that has to do work that is emotionally or physically draining, is there a way to balance that out by charging more for your time or maybe creating projects that you are very passionate about that makes it more exciting to keep showing up? These are all questions that, like, I think each of us has to answer for ourselves. With boundaries, I think there is a very close relationship between what our boundaries are and how soon we feel overwhelmed. Because if we're not acknowledging our boundaries, how much time or energy or effort we need to put into something, and we're just saying yes to every opportunity that comes along, at some point, you're going to be burnt out. And I know my burnt out point, my most recent burnout point, happened for me about 5 days ago. And you might have noticed because I stopped showing up on social media. I really was like, you know what? I need to honor myself and take a few days to rest and do things that make me feel more like myself and more balanced with my time. And also, I kind of mentioned this before, but we have to feel confident and have a well-regulated nervous system in order to honor our boundaries. Because if we are afraid of being judged, disliked, it's going to be harder to enforce our self boundaries around our time and work. So being taught our entire academic career that our boundaries, having healthy boundaries is harmful to success. That bleeds over into our relationships as well. We want to make sure that the people we work with like us so that they might hire us if there's a good opportunity. So we might be willing to do work pro bono with the expectation that maybe we'll get something back in return someday. I was just talking with a friend the other day. I went to Indiana University for two of my graduate degrees, and I loved actually playing in the ad hocs. At Indiana, there are these what are called ad hoc orchestras where every Sunday at 1 p.m., there's a concert, and it was something additional for fun that you could do. And the conductors were all student conductors. Musicians could apply to be in a lottery. And if you got drawn, then you could solo with the ad hoc orchestra. And the people that would donate their time to these orchestras, a lot of times were doing it for the networking factor. A lot of times they were doing it for the experience of just playing a lot of orchestral rep. And I think for me, it was definitely the orchestral rep thing. And I had a lot of friends that would also do the ad hoc. So it was something we could all do together, and we get free lunch out of it. It was just like, it was a fun time. And for myself, I was doing these ad hocs on viola, and I realized very quickly that I am someone who needs a day off from practicing. I cannot practice every single day. I get very drained physically and emotionally. And so I realized I needed to take a day off. But sometimes with the way the ad hoc schedules were, I couldn't really take a day off. So I decided to play violin for a lot of the ad hocs. And I'm so grateful that I did that. But there are a lot of people, and there are times in that experience of playing ad hocs where I really didn't have the time or the energy to devote to doing this, but I did it anyway because I felt like there was some positive outcome to it. I think part of it is like, do you know how much time you need to take off each week? Like, do you know how much time you can practice before you start getting tired? I felt like the boundaries thing came up for me in teacher-student relationships. I know I felt sometimes like I had to explain myself to teachers or open up about certain aspects of my life in order to be understood or respected. And with teacher-student relationships, there's already a power imbalance involved, and it can just feel like you have to say yes to everything your teacher suggests, even if you feel like it may not be the best thing for you. For example, doing extra recitals. I had a teacher that really wanted me to give a recital, and so I did it. But then when it came time for me to do a degree recital, I just felt so drained. I felt like I had no choice in how much time I was taking to do things and learn things. And I was working a lot on technical stuff, technical aspects of my playing, and I just didn't feel good about it. And then that came through in my energy levels. I just couldn't keep pushing through. I needed to take a break, but it was at a time when I needed to also prepare for this degree recital. So these ideas around boundaries also come up in our relationship with ourselves. I know something that I really struggled with for a while when I was first learning about musicians' wellness related stuff and yoga and Pilates, I felt like I had to take all the certifications in order to be respected. I felt like in my own relationship with myself, I didn't feel like I was enough. And I was willing to do way more and invest way more of my time and energy into projects than was probably healthy because I didn't have a secure enough relationship with myself at the time to be able to tell myself that I don't need to sacrifice my time and energy to prove anything to myself, that I am enough right now. That doesn't mean I can't have way more to learn than can ever be learned, but I don't need to feel so urgent about it. It's impossible to learn all the things right now, and trying to do that, putting my body and my mind through that, was a lot. Which brings me to self-talk. I mean, how many times do we tell ourselves that we're bad at something, we're not good enough, we're not enough? It's important to set healthy boundaries with ourselves too. At points in my life, I really struggled with intrusive thoughts and with paranoia, actually. And something that really helped me working with a therapist through that was learning the truth that my thoughts and my feelings are not me. It was that my thoughts are not me and are not always true. Just because we think something doesn't mean that it's true. Up until that point, I was convinced that every thought that traced through my mind was truth. How could I think that way? How could I think something so horrible about myself? And I'm still learning to have love for myself. I'm not there yet. I'll be completely honest. I'm still working on accepting myself because I have such high standards for myself, for my playing, for my accomplishments, my achievements. My own personal standards are often so high that they're unattainable. And when I think about that, it absolutely makes me feel like I will never be enough. And so how do I learn to love and accept myself for the person I am now, even though I'm not meeting my own impossible standards. And I think that's what has made me so successful in some ways as a musician, because my expectations are so high. I have such an ear and an eye for detail that sometimes I feel like I either have to accept all imperfection and give up, or that I have to be okay feeling less than my expectation for myself. And I'm learning that there is a gray area, that I can still strive for clarity and precision in my playing as a musician, and also start to accept that I am a human and that I can always work on making my personal best better. But to think that my voice as a musician isn't valid because I can't meet my own personal standard is sad. That's really sad. And it's my truth that I'm working through. It's something I'm still very much working through. How do I find acceptance right now? If I'm filling up every minute of my day with something, then I don't have to sit with my own thoughts anymore and think about how I feel about what's happening. And now I'm learning that just because I have the time to do things doesn't mean I really have the time to do things. That I need to schedule in time for myself to rest. And then I also need to schedule in time for myself to reflect, to ask myself how I feel, to ask myself, is there a boundary that I could set this week? Something small that will make next week feel less stressful than this week. How do I enforce those boundaries when healthy boundaries have not been modeled for me by the people in authority or the people that I looked up to? And when I feel sometimes like enforcing my boundaries means that I'm going to be alone because nobody is going to like me. So I have some questions for you. First of all, thank you for, if you're still listening, thank you for just listening to me rant about boundaries and the realizations that I've had over the last few weeks, because I think they're profound and maybe they're helpful to you. I think also that boundaries are fluid and they can change over time. And we have to know how we feel in order to create and honor our boundaries. If we don't know how we feel and we're not tapped into asking ourselves how we feel, then how do we know how much work is too much? How do we know how much time or energy devoted to something is too much for ourselves? And based on what's going on in our lives, that of course can change. So here are some questions I've asked myself that have really helped me get clear on some of this. What are your boundaries around work, relationships, and yourself? What are your boundaries? What are things in your life that are draining, or things that power up your personal energy levels? What are things that drain you versus fulfill you or nourish you? And how can you develop a stronger sense of self-awareness and be more open and willing to enforce your own personal boundaries? You do not have to be friends with everyone to be successful. You do not have to be respected by everyone to be successful. But if you are not, as they say, putting your oxygen mask before you put on the oxygen mask of the person sitting next to you. There will be a moment or moments in your life where you will not be able to continue sustaining that level of work or energy or output. And so I don't have any clear answers for you, but I do have questions. Self-reflection, self-study. In yoga, it's called svadhyaya. Self-study. Because nobody can tell us what our boundaries are. They're something we have to learn and explore for ourselves. And if we want to free ourselves from stress, we have to learn how to enforce these boundaries without being upset about it, just accepting and doing. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you. If you had any realizations while listening to this, you can always reach out and DM me on Instagram at The Aligned Musician. Send me an email. I'm thealignedmusician@gmail.com, which that info is also in the show notes. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Till next time. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, give us a rating, and follow on Instagram at The Aligned Musician. Thank you so much and take care.